Very unaccustomed to that.
We were going to play Hail to the Chef.
Yeah. I've cooked a lot of things, including the books. I'm a little raspy today. I've got a little cold, so nobody kiss me. Debbie, that doesn't apply to you. I want to introduce some of the people from the city who are here today. Council people, I got Roger Bryant. I got Ron Payne and his wife, Suzanne. We've got Pam Broomhall. Susan Dunnick. Pam Broomhall, who's in charge of the Community Development Department of the city. Mark Bouzelot. And if you don't think that name's been screwed up a few times, just the police call him. What do they call you, Bushlight? Okay. Mark Bouzelot, he's our Public Works Director. Nice young kid, doing a great job. We got Gary Folio, ex-mayor. I was city attorney at the time, and he taught me all kinds of nice tricks. Thanks, Gary. You know, I'm kind of interested. You got the school kids, and you got Russ Durr here, and I was kind of hurt. I've never been invited to be involved in the ethical decision-making program. You don't think it has anything to do with lawyer, politician? You know, I was there's a story about a gentleman who was walking down the street, and he looked over and he saw this young kid, and the kid was constructing something. So he walked over, and he was surprised to see the kid was using cow manure. And he says, "Little boy, what are you doing?" And he says, "Well," he says, "I'm making Mayor Tom Marion." And the guy said, "Well, gee, why don't you make Al Zastro?" And the little kid says, "Mister, there isn't enough cow manure in Lee County." What I'd like to talk about, we've just concluded our budget meetings, and we've got things put together. I just want to tell you a little history of this. The first three figures are actual because the years are over. In 2009, we get receipts. We get property taxes, which the governor's trying to reduce 40% on the commercial, which is going to really impact us. And I think it's going to happen over 4 or 5 years. We get TIF, tax increment financing monies. We get intergovernmental monies, money from the state, money from the feds. This doesn't include our proprietary services, which are sewer, sanitation. Those go to fund those individual departments. So in 2009, we had the receipts of a little over $19 million. 2010, we had $16 million. In 2011, we had $15 million. And in 2012, we're estimated to have $10 million. So you see the pattern there. It's being reduced quite a bit. We have to live within a budget that now is getting those receipts of $10 million. And why is that? Well, the intergovernmental monies, federal, state, and everything's drying up. In 2009, there were $4,821,000 we received. And this year, our estimate is that we'll get $1,757,000. So you can see the big drop there. Now, there are other places where we don't have the income also, but that's the big one. And so our finance director, John Russell, I never want to be a CPA or a finance director. He used to have hair. It's a really difficult job, and he puts the numbers together, and he really works hard this time of the year. And I'll give him all the credit in the world. The council, they work hard. They make the final decisions about, you know, what we can and can't pay in certain areas. One thing that we do, I want to tell you that we have these $10 million in estimated receipts, and we have over $10 million, a little less than what we receive in expenses. So there's not a lot of wriggle room there. Now, in my first year in office, we raised taxes $1 million. And what that is a dollar for every $1,000 of value of your property, whether it's your residence, your commercial property, whatever. So the next year we were able not to do that, but we weren't able to fund any capital improvements. Now, capital improvements are things like, and this year we're going to fund about $1 million worth at least of capital improvements. We're talking police cars. And when you get into police cars, you talk about the fact that the Crown Victoria, Ford's Crown Victoria, was the police car. Everybody bought a Crown Victoria. So we'd buy them, when we buy new cars, we were able to change out the cages and the light bars and everything because they were Crown Vics. Well, now they've stopped making the Crown Vics, so we're going to police cruisers. They're a smaller car. You can't trade out, so we're going to have to spend $10,000 to get new equipment to put in the cars. We are buying two cars, $23,000 apiece, $10,000 to outfit them, so it adds up. We can't have our police officers going to a 911 call. Their car breaks down, they have to call a cab. It just doesn't work that way. So there are expenditures we have to make, and we are doing that with the help of all our department heads. Last year, I know, we asked our department heads to cut their budget request by 5%, and I believe all of them were able to do it. Now, we get into certain areas where last year we had the 18.5 inches of snow almost overnight, and I'll take the blame for that. I just want the credit for getting it melted in 5 days. But that's where we get some overtime, and that's where, you know, you say, oh, gosh, the budget is this, and we work in some overtime on those budgets, but that's where you spend extra money. And so far this year, we've been very lucky. We haven't had to use the salt and the sand and have our guys out at 3 o'clock in the morning clearing the snow. But those are the capital requests. We're getting end loaders. We're getting a new street sweeper. You know, and for the right amount of money, I'll get you on that street sweeper. You can drive it 5 blocks. But that's $175,000 for a street sweeper. Ours is over 10 years old, and it's wearing out. The way they work, they internally tear themselves up. We're going to get a new one that is a little different and isn't going to do that so badly. So we're looking at that. We're also looking at trying to find ways to actually fund these things, unique ways. You know, when you bond and you do GO, general obligation bonds, you're borrowing money. And so if we wanted to do a street or a section of streets, we borrowed $3 million. We bond for $3 million. We're borrowing $3 million. And we immediately, when we borrow that, we start paying it back. So we're paying interest on that. Now, we're looking at maybe using a line of credit. What that is, of course, the bankers, and start smiling, some of you bankers, and we'll be talking to you seriously, and see whether we can actually do it and whether the banks are able to do it. But if we could get a $3 million line of credit instead of a bond for $3 million, you only pay the interest on what we use. So if we do a line of credit for $3 million and we spend $300,000 in the first couple months, we're only paying interest on the $300,000 that we actually have gotten in our coffers. Now, we are doing a lot of work in the area. We had the landslides, the Great River Road, beneath Chief Keokuk and on up the river a little bit. We're going to be working on those. We have federal grants and matches that we have to match. We have a 20% match. What happened was FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Corporation, usually comes in and helps out with disasters. In this situation, what they're doing is, it's not FEMA, because it's the Great River Road, it's the Federal Highway Administration. So they're going to fund 80% of what the cost is to do that. Our 20% is probably going to be about $400,000. So there's another $400,000 the city has to come up with, and we have to have unique ways to do this. We have other parts of the town. You know, we have Howie talks to me every other day about South 2nd Street, where you're going from Morgan down to Fulton, and the caved in. So those are on the projects. That's a FEMA project, and so we're going to do that. Let's talk about something really good, business recruitment. We have several companies. We've got Amjet, and I know I've talked about Amjet quite a bit, but it's starting to come to fruition. Amjet is going to build electric turbines. And they're interesting and they're unique because they're going to be a composite material rather than a great big metal turbine. And what they can do is you put it on a platform and you're going to lower it into the river. You lower it into the river, it's got one moving part. The water flows through it, you make electricity. If you got a problem with it, you bring it up, service it, and put it back down. If you go out to the power plant and you want to service one of their generators, you've got a big crane-like deal with a hook on it, and you got to lift the top off, and you got to lift the next part off. So it's very hard to maintain those, whereas Amjet's will be quite easy. They've been tested. He had a 1/8 scale model tested at University of Iowa. When I say he, his name's Paul Roos, managing partner of that company. He is totally committed to Keokuk. He has told me that this is where it's going to be. He needs to raise money somewhere around, I guess, $3 million, something like that. So if you got a couple dollars you want to invest, give Paul a call or call me and I'll get you a hold of him. He is at this point in time, very excited about the possibility. There are some possibilities of some venture capital. And so if we could get that going, he's going to build his first large-scale model, hire however many people it takes to build that. He's already got an office out in Morris Rubber Building. That's where he'll be constructing the original parts because there's extra space out there. So we're really excited about the possibility of Amjet. My caution to everything is wait until you see it happen, because we got burned with Hendrix, and that was a terrible shame, because that was going to be something, and we'd be much better off today if that project had gone. So, you know, until you see it, you can't bank on it. But those are things that make us very, very hopeful. We also have iOmega. Maybe you've met Ravi. He's from India. He's the man that is behind iOmega. He bought 429 Main Street, what was originally the Security State Bank, then Norwest Bank, and then Wes Ames had it just recently. He's purchased that building. He's doing some fix-up on it. He's wanting to put in a innovation and business center where he can develop other businesses. And he's going to have research and development. He's going to have a laboratory. I've already met one gentleman who's involved and wants to come here and do something. So that's exciting. I believe he's also going to make the omega-3 oil, which is used in pharmaceuticals. So that's exciting, make it out of algae. So there are other projects. He has some investors from India, and they've been here. I've met them. They're very intelligent people. They have money backing. As a matter of fact, they offered Paul Ruse $10 million to do his hydro turbines. The problem is he'd have to do it in India, and he said, I am committed to Keokuk. I'm not going to do that. So, you know, that tells you, if you've met Paul Ruse, and we've tried to get him around to meet as many people as possible, he's a great guy, very intelligent, got a lot of patents that he has developed. So if you get an opportunity, shake his hand, be friendly, because that's how you get people here. Quality of life. It's your roads, it's your hospitals, it's your schools. And that's another thing, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the city is committed to keeping the hospital here. One of the things that when we went to Des Moines with Al and Wally and the other people, they asked what's the city, what's their commitment, the county's commitment, and we've indicated we'll get some money available, because if we match certain amounts, then there'll be certain amounts from the state and federal. So there's a disproportionate share, and I'm not going to go into all that, but we're committed to helping however we can. And again, we've got budget constraints, but we'll do what we can to do that. And one of the things we did do, and you know, you can sit on your hands and say, boy, I hope business comes to Keokuk. I hope somebody comes here and starts a business. You can't wait for that to happen. You got to go out and do it. And one of the things we did do, and some people, you know, I'm as much or more to blame than anybody else. We loaned $200,000 to Amjet to get started. They wouldn't be where they are. They wouldn't have built their 1/8 scale model. The Lee County loaned them $150,000. You can sit and wait and hope and pray, but if you don't take something, some initiative, things aren't going to happen. So we're happy that we put that money out there. We're happy that we're trying to do something for the community. We're crying out for jobs. We have high unemployment. Everybody knows that. St. Louis Gear, and I see Danny Hodges is here. He wants to move, if you haven't seen it, to the Faith Family Church building. We're going to do everything we can. I know Pam Broomhall. We're working with Danny to try to get done what we can. You know, that's a great break for us, because if that building goes back on the tax rolls, you know, that's another tax money for the city. He's also, on my understanding, and I'm not trying to, Danny can correct me all he wants, but we're excited about this. His other building will remain on the tax rolls. We're getting nothing from that building, the old Shopko Faith Family Church, right now, because it's a church. That's not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-religion. So we're excited about the possibilities of getting St. Louis Gear a new place, whether it's there, whether it's whether they want to take over city offices, we don't care. Just so long as I get to stay in that front window where everybody can see that I'm not sleeping. The mall, people ask about the mall. A gentleman was here last week who represents the owners. They don't know what they're going to do with it right now. And there's some real serious problems with it if you don't already know it. If you look straight at the mall and you look to the right side is where the major problems are. Someone came in and they tried to slap some roof repairs on there, and it didn't really work very well. The end where J.C. Penney, Heilig Myers, when that building was, we went down there and looked at it with him. It's got puddles of water on the floor. It leaks. There were some people recycling computers and televisions and all those. Well, that is a fiction, because what they're doing, there's a little bit of gold in some of those connections. They take the gold out. If you walk in there, you've got just boxes and boxes full of old computer tubes, pictures, screens, whatever, TVs. You got piled plastic shells that you take them out of, a big pile of those. So, you know, that's waste. That's I don't want to say hazardous, but that's something that's going to have to be cleaned up. So, you know, they could probably spend upwards of $50,000 just to clean that up. They've got about $1 million that's owed on that building, and it's probably worth $400,000. So they're making some serious decisions what they're going to want to do. They talked about the possibility. There are all kinds of possibilities. Now, don't think that this is exactly what's going to happen. They could just say, okay, we're going to take our loss and just let it sit. It'll sit there and rot, and nothing will happen with it. So we do not want to do that. They've asked, just like any business that comes in, they ask, what can the city do for us? Well, we have things we can do. We can do tax abatements. In other words, you come in and you put improvements in, or you build a new building. We can abate part of that that building for a number of years, 10, 20 years, so that you don't pay those additional taxes in the improvement for 10, 20 years. And so that's an incentive, and you've got to, you know, you got to play this game anymore. What incentives can you give us? What incentives can, you know, what can you do for us? So there's that. There are new market tax credits. There are targeted job credits. There's TIF. We can TIF it, and I believe just about all of Keokuk's in a TIF zone, so we could TIF that property. I asked him whether, you know, rather than just close it up, I said, you've got a lot down there on the left side of the mall. I said, what would you do? Can you maybe partially close it and do something on the do something with a bad end, but keep the others? And he said, very, very excited, because the movie theater wants three more bays to put more theaters in. So we're excited about that possibility. They're excited. They'd probably have to put another $200,000 in on a roof. But they're, you know, in talking with them, this gentleman could come up and say, oh, trash it, you know. And that's an easy answer, but he's willing to work with us, see what we can do for him. So that's something we're working on, and we hope to have that come to fruition. We've also got the biodiesel and glycerin plant. Some investors from New York have come in, and they're rehabbing and fixing up the property down on 5th and Johnson, between 4th and 5th and Johnson, and going to make biodiesel and glycerin. Now, I don't know what glycerin is, but I guess that's a big deal. So, you know, they're working as we speak. So we've got some possibilities. There are another couple of possible businesses that want to come to town. I can't get into any detail because it's not firm. But I just want you to know that we have some good possibilities. It'll be a circular situation where if you get some industry or business to come in here, it's going to funnel down everywhere. You're going to have more people on paid. You're going to have more income in the community. You're going to have people that can now go in and put a store in downtown, because there are people with disposable income that can actually come to those stores and pay money for the products. So if that can happen, again, if Hendrix had happened, if iOmega happens, that's going to be something that could really boost this community. That's the big thing, jobs, jobs, jobs. Construction work. We're going to do Soap Creek Sewer Project streets down on Palin, Timia, 8th and 9th Street. You've seen those. They've had to settle for 2 years because we did the Soap Creek Sewer work there. We're going to pave those. Now, we're right now talking about concrete or asphalt. I think with the prices, and again, you'll have to talk to Mark Busolo about that, but we're looking at maybe concrete. We'd like to do concrete. It's got a longer life than asphalt. The asphalt people tell us, well, you can, if you put asphalt in after so many years, you can just mel off the top of it and put new asphalt down. And they say, well, when you do concrete, you know, you have to take the whole product out. That's true, but the life, I don't know, Mark would say 20, 30, 40, 50 years even for concrete. So that's something.
Longer.
Yeah, yeah. How the heck would you know? Poured a couple loads of concrete, I think. I would have liked to have done, and I'm remiss here because I keep Carol Smith's in the back, and she's been a council person for a number of years. She's not on the council right now, but I want to thank her for everything she did. She really helped too. So with all the other council persons, I didn't want to be remiss and not mention Carol. I would have liked to have done Grand Avenue this year if we're going to do it. And I think the council's committed to that. We have to do it in a responsible way. One of the things when we originally planned it, we wanted to have we needed to have a letdown structure for our stormwater to take it down to the river. Okay. When we do so, we didn't put that in. We inadvertently left that out of the plans. Well, now we have to put that in. It's going to be at 9th and Grand. It's going to go down the hillside, but we got to put it under the railroad track. And so we're dealing with the railroad, which is very difficult right now to get them to come back and talk to us about it and get something done. So if we can't do that, we can't do – it's crazy to do Grand Avenue now. So we're probably, if we're going to do it next year, 2013, and I'm pretty much committed to trying to do that. I think the council people are too. I have some other things I was going to talk about. You know, one of the things I really like to talk about is we've received grants for the Safe Routes to School. And let me get the figures right. We got $116,485 for 2011 and $135,548 for 2012. And the 2011 grant route is for sidewalks and crosswalks across Middle Road to the intersection of Boulevard Road, along Boulevard Road to the intersection of Decatur Street, and along Decatur Street to Hawthorne Elementary School. 2012 route is going to be from sidewalks and crosswalks along Boulevard Road from Plank to Grand. And I want to give a lot of recognition to Pam Broomhall, who worked very hard for those grants, and she's responsible for those grants, so she's back here. And, you know, one of the things, we've got a new city attorney. That old one was an idiot. I can testify to that one. I did the city attorney work for the past, basically the past year, because our city attorney was deathly ill. John Russell says you saved us probably $20,000 to $25,000, but I couldn't concentrate. It's hard to concentrate on both jobs, okay? Plus, there can be conflicts of interest. If they say, I need a legal opinion about, well, if I have a stake in that matter, let's say we want to raise the mayor's salary. I mean, if I have a stake in that matter, what kind of opinion am I going to, that's a conflict of interest. So Audrey Alexander is our new city attorney. She's great. She's down in the city offices. She's in there working very diligently. One of the nice things she says is, you've got a great staff down here. They're all very hardworking and intelligent and do a good job. And then I think she backed off and said, except for the mayor. But she's excited. She'll do a great job. So we're excited about her. I could go on and talk about some other things. I want to give some opportunity for some questions if anybody has those. So. Good, none? No. Jim? The improvements at the airport, we're going to get about $6 million worth of improvements at the airport. I have that down here. We're going to work on the airport construction, the lighting systems, some other projects. Total cost is $6,200,000. The original city match was for 5%. Well, the government, since we haven't received the grant and haven't received the money yet, the feds are talking about raising that to 10%, which we really, I'm afraid that may happen. Our 5% match was $300,000, so that may double. But that's something, you know, a lot of people say, well, what do we get out of the airport? You know, we get a few people flying in. One of the things, and if you sit down with Greg Gobble, who is the manager, and you see the statistics and the amount of people we have in and out of here, we've got businesses that come in and out of here. There are people who come in and out of here and nobody knows about because they're doing some looking at businesses or development or something. They don't want people to know what they're doing. But we get flights in here nobody knows about other than the people who are dealing with these individuals. So it's a big asset. Again, it's a quality of life. I mean, if we have an airport and we have a very serviceable airport, that we can get bigger planes in here. And we're not expanding. We're working on what we've had. We're fixing the runway. We're putting the lights in that we need to have. So that's a very important situation for us, the airport. So,
Tom, in your dealings outside the city with other mayors, state level, and everything, are you seeing some small positive indicators of economic?
Yeah, I am, because we just got back from the Great River Region days up in Des Moines, and people say, what do you get up there? You know, we don't get a wheelbarrow full of money to bring back to Keokuk. you deal, though, and you get together with all these other community people from and chamber directors and chamber presidents who are there. And you talk about different things, and you get ideas about things you can do. You also get to listen to the auditor tell you what the state of the state is from a monetary standpoint. You talk to workforce development, which we can hit them up and say, gosh, we need our business back here. And they say, oh, great, we'll talk to you later. The nice thing is that the guy who was talking about workforce development graduated from Simpson College, and so did I, so I was able to strong-arm him a little bit. But yeah, we go to to Washington in April, and people say, what do you get out of there? Well, Dave Loebsack, Grassley, and Harkin, the two senators, are very open to listening to us. We're talking with and Al and Wally can bang their heads against the wall because sometimes there's not a lot you can do. There might be better possibility to get the hospital critical access designation, but they did away with earmarks, and that's because a lot of the elected officials would slip in. I'm going to put a rainforest up in Coralville, Iowa. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm going to put a rainforest up in Coralville, Iowa, and they put it in on a spending bill, and of course it had passed. And, there's $20 million, whatever it was. And so they stopped doing that because it got to be a little bit ridiculous. But now, because you don't have earmarks, it's hard to put important things like an exemption for Keokuk Area Hospital to be a critical access hospital. So those are things. We deal with those representatives. That's an example. We get input. We get to be able to give them input and let them hear some things. So, I was at a summit in Quincy, Illinois, and people said, well, what's that for? Mayors from Keokuk, Hannibal, Quincy, Macomb were there, and we're talking about, and don't think we're spending money foolishly. One of the things we're doing is we talked about getting laptop computers so that all the council persons, so there'd be nine, one for the city, the mayor, I already have one, but now we're talking, one for the clerk, now we're talking about getting the iPads. And the reason for that is, we kill a lot of trees. Each council person may get a packet this big every Thursday. And, there's time in making those and copying and everything. If we could go to the iPads, and I know it's something we'd all have to learn how to do, but we can email or send out the information. The council people can have it a lot earlier than they do now when they pick it up Thursday before meeting. They can look at that during the meeting, and they've got their agenda and everything, turn the page, and you're looking at everything we do on paper. So, we're looking at things like that. Macomb, Quincy, they all do it. So they say it's a great process. I see I'm out of time. Anybody have any other questions, stop afterwards, talk to me. All I have to do is go back to the office and sleep. Thank you very much.